fighting for America.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
Why are we so down with this game?
Team USA with the win. America beat Ghana last night in their first World Cup game.
Do we know where Ghana is?
Fighting for Idaho.
USA now plays Portugal on June 22nd.
I'd rather see a quarterback throw a touchdown or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns.
Fighting for you.
Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuzu or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly?
You can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Who needs the Expendables 3? Joining us now, our friend from Washington, Senator Jim Risch at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Kevin, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. So are you buying the World Cup stuff, or what do you think?
You know what? I haven't watched any of it or really even heard much about it. I guess when I was watching the news last night, I saw that somebody went out there, played for 90 minutes, and never scored a point. I kind of like football. I mean, F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L.
Well, I share in that, sir. I agree with you, but you know where... We're trying to be more big tentish, if you will, and but
okay,
I'm with you.
You do that for me. Okay?
Thanks, I appreciate that. Anyway, Senator Risch, what happened the last time we talked to you? Everything was well, not wonderful in the Middle East, but Iraq seemed to be stable, and now.
Well, you know, Kevin, this is what you need to do on these things is kind of step back and then look at it from above at the 30,000-foot level. And, you know, I've been saying this since I ran for this office and since I've been here. We Americans have a tendency, as I think all human beings do, to analyze situations and make judgments and make decisions based on our own cultural foundations and training and experience. And as a result of that, we're trying to look at what's going on in the Middle East, particularly in the in Iraq and Syria and Iran and all those areas, and understand it and analyze it based on what we know about what goes on around us and has for all of our lives. Look, these people are different than we are, and you know, no matter how you hold hands and sing kumbaya, they are different than we are. Their culture is different. They think differently. Their decisions are made to a large extent based upon the religious convictions that they have. And sometimes that works with each other and with the rest of the world, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, the largest fights that have been going on in the Middle East and the most frequent fights going on in the Middle East is a fight between the Sunnis and the Shiites, both of whom are Muslims, much like our Christian religions where we have different followings within the Christians, whether it's Catholic or Methodist or Episcopal or what have you. These are two very large religious groups that have differences, and frankly, you've got to study it pretty deeply to even understand those differences. It goes all the way back to Muhammad and his sons, and what they believe and what they follow. And we're in there trying to resolve that. I mean, this is an impossibility, really, to try to do that. So, you really need to step back and have a look at this. And we went into Iraq. We removed Saddam Hussein. We really settled everything down because we put a military presence on the ground that was tough, that was able to win battles, that was able to settle things down. But what happens when you leave? They revert back to what they've been doing for over a millennia. And how do you resolve that? I mean, the military action is one thing. Nation building is another thing, and there isn't really anybody that's good at nation building.
Senator Risch, you take a look at the reactions of some of your colleagues. You have a lot of folks on the Senate side saying that we need to go back in. Another 9/11 is imminent. As you said, you always study these issues. Number one, your thoughts on that. Number two, you and the Senate understand the idea of building a consensus, building compromise. And did Maliki fail to do that by excluding the Sunnis from his government?
The answer to the second question is really easy. The answer is yes. But again, we're trying to sit here and make those decisions with Maliki, who is a politician, and he has to play to his base. And when he plays to his base, that includes the differences between the Sunnis and the Shiites, and he's going to play to the to his team, and that right. probably is what caused that, as far as Maliki is concerned. In answer to your first question, you know, another 9/11 being imminent, I view that this way. Since 9/11, another 9/11 has been in the works for a long, long time. The imminency of it, I think, I don't think anybody really can predict that. We do know, and I've got to be careful what I say here and how far I go with this, but we do know when things are starting to heat up and happening within the terrorist network around the world, and step up precautions and what have you. But there's no certainty in that. You don't really know when there's another 9/11 coming. But it's, I mean, there is no doubt there's going to be another terrorist attack. Indeed, before the sun sets tonight, somewhere in the world there's going to be a terrorist attack. So we, you know, we're very vigilant in that. We got to be right 100% of the time. They only got to be right one time, and we got a problem. But I don't, as far as going back into Iraq, there isn't anybody talking about putting boots on the ground in Iraq. Look, there's been a tremendous amount of treasure, and I mean both blood and financial treasure that the American people have given the Iraqi people. They've got to do this. We can't do this for them. They have to do this. And it's not working over there, and I certainly don't have the answer. I think probably what we're going to have to do is use some air power to protect the interest and our infrastructure over there and our people over there, and that's relatively easy to do compared to something else. But boots, the American people are tired of this. I'm tired of this. I think everybody is. That as far as boots on the ground are concerned.
Senator Risch with us at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Senator, your thoughts on the Bergdahl fallout?
Well, you know, at this time, I think we all need to back off on this. You know, the Bergdahl issue. I, as much as anybody, in fact, back here, the national media says I probably was the guy that pressed the administration to get him out, and I was very patient with them. They worked hard at it and what have you. But as you also remember, I was quite critical when the actual exchange took place. And look, it's really important that Bo Bergdahl was taken out of the custody of the Taliban and gotten into the custody of the American military system so that they can handle this thing according to their procedures. And he accounts for his conduct. The second half of that is the five people that they let go. I mean, it is breathtaking. It's astonishing that these five people were let go. We in the United States have spilt a lot of blood and spent a lot of money to get our hands on or kill the people who are the ringleaders of trying to kill us, that are focused on us and trying to kill us. These five were at the heart of that. They have two of them are wanted by the World Court to answer for war crimes, for crying out loud. To release them back, to just turn them loose and turn them back, which is essentially what happened. I mean, they're supposedly under house arrest in Qatar for the next year. Well, now we're down to 48 weeks or something like that they're going to be. And then they're free. They're free to go after that. I had real difficulty with that. I mean, these guys were the worst of the worst. You know, if they wanted to trade some prisoner, I have no problem with that. I really wanted to get him out of the custody, but to let these five go That was just too big a price to pay as far as I was concerned.
Senator Jim Risch with us here at 580KIDO. Senator, finally, quick question. Your reaction to the Benghazi arrest?
Well, it's about time. You know, that is the guy, as you recall, who not long after was sitting in the cafes in Tripoli and also in the Benghazi area, sipping coffee and giving interviews to CNN and everyone else. You know, I mean, yeah, it's good we got our hands on him. It's about time we got our hands on him. I disagree with what they're doing. If it was up to me, he'd be hauled right off to Gitmo and thrown in and said, look, we'll see you whenever. But they've put him on a naval ship, and he's headed for the United States, and they're going to give him a trial. And the administration is saying, oh, we're going to show the world that we are a just people, and he's going to answer to justice and all that. The rest of the world doesn't care about that. I mean, we Americans care about that. We're civilized human beings. We understand the justice system. The other people in the world shake their head and go, well, they got their hands on an enemy, and they're going to take him into court. They're going to take him into the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and he's going to have a trial, and he's going to have lawyers, and they're going to spend millions on this guy, when he could be just hauled off to Guantanamo, and he's under both the law of the United States and the and international law, the rules of war. It would be absolutely lawful to throw him into Gitmo and throw away the key.
Senator Risch, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
Take care.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go now to Senator Mike Crapo at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us. So now, are you down with the World Cup, or are you...
I wish. I just left a global climate hearing with Barbara Boxer. And I'm glad I'm on the phone with you instead.
I was going to say she'd be a great goalie, but Senator, a lot to talk about. And first and foremost, the situation in Iraq eventually will spill over here. If for nothing else, we're going to have a rise in energy prices. How will this impact our economy? Which, again, you're such a champion of making sure that the taxpayers are taken care of.
Well, you know, the situation in Iraq is a disaster, frankly. It's incredible to see us devolve in Iraq from where we were when we had successfully been able to establish control and help a new government form to now, after we have essentially left them in a free fall, and we see the ISIS and other very dangerous elements taking control in the country. It's hard to predict the exact impact on the economy. We know it's going to have an impact on oil prices. What my biggest worry is, though, frankly, is that this will now dramatically increase the potential for a successful terrorist strike at the United States. This can be the launching grounds, if you will, for further threats to American soil. And I am very concerned about that dynamic.
Senator, let's get back to that in a second, but something that is well within your wheelhouse, and that's the economy and where, you know, we're, you know, is the dollar becoming less and less powerful? Yesterday, meat prices, chicken prices, up when we're talking inflation and such. Are you concerned about Idahoans, Americans' buying power being diminished?
Well, yes, I am, and I hate to always be discussing negative dynamics when we're talking about our economy, but as you know, our national debt is now at $17.5 trillion. When we were discussing it just a few years ago, it was down in the $12 trillion range, and that was out of control. We don't seem to be doing what we need to do to stave off the economic consequences of Washington's failures in fiscal policy. And a lot of people say to me, well, this terrible crisis hasn't happened yet. Maybe you're wrong about it. The reason it hasn't happened is because our Federal Reserve is literally printing trillions of dollars and pumping them into the economy to try to stave it off. They're trying to help keep our debt down lower at the federal level by buying up all of our bonds at low interest rates, but they cannot continue to prop the economy up that way forever. And I'm very concerned that if we don't have some fiscal restraint in Washington really soon, we could see serious crisis in our economy.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, how can you explain the stock market blowing up when most of the Americans are out of it and we're printing money? And I talked to Dave Pezza, which you talked to quite a bit as well, and I go,
"Yeah,
Dave, fiscally, this is insane, what's going on here. The market's going crazy, and we're printing funny money."
Yeah, and a lot of people look at the stock market and they say, "Hey, you know, the stock market's really been growing over the last couple of years. Things must be okay." Well, first of all, the stock market does not reflect necessarily the underlying strength of the economy. And what we've seen is that often through the bubbles that we get into, it doesn't even correctly reflect the valuation of the stocks of the businesses, which are related. But the fact is, I believe that using the stock market as a gauge for whether we're in good condition or not is not the right indicator.
Senator Crabo with us here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Now, Senator, yesterday we had this big issue involving this Benghazi arrest. Your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I think the fact that we are continuing to investigate Benghazi is good. You know, there's been, a concerted effort to sort of sweep it under the table. And I believe that the pressures here in Congress and across the country from like-minded individuals to keep the issue focused is what is continuing this effort and making it stay lively. We've got to get to the bottom of this, and so I'm actually glad to see that we are making progress.
Senator, the idea that we could possibly be partnering with our friends, the Iranians, and they're not our friends, they call us the Great Satan, to give them air cover in Iraq, your reaction to that, and still no resolution over Pastor Saeed?
Well, you're right. And this, first of all, we should not be engaging in partnership with Iran. They are a problem for us and a threat to us. And it really highlights the failure of President Obama's foreign policy, that he literally is looking at an option because he has so few other options of creating an alliance with a danger to our country in order to deal with another danger that has grown up because of our failure to resolve issues and have a strong foreign policy. There are so many ways in which the circumstance in Iraq shows the failure of current American policy that it is discouraging, but this is one of the biggest ones. And I do not believe that we should be engaging in an alliance with Iraq in this context.
And, Senator, you go back to, you know, Pastor Saeed still being held by these folks and, you know, Nagmeet still trying to raise awareness. Your thoughts to her and people here in the Treasure Valley?
Well, we continue to raise this issue with our State Department and intelligence officials and our military officials as they negotiate with Iran. At this point, they continue to refuse to make it one of their demands in the negotiations relating to nuclear policy. But we will not forget, and we will continue to encourage that we do everything that we can to obtain the release of Pastor Abedini.
Senator Mike Crapo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Now, on a still an important note, but a kind of a light note, Senator, I heard you were the chief rabble-rouser in Moscow over the weekend.
Well, you know, there was a problem there, and it's unfortunate. We have a disagreement among Republicans about certain parts of our leadership team and about some of the elements of our platform. And unfortunately, that has resulted in our inability to, at least at the convention, it resulted in our inability to achieve finality in terms of our elections and platform development. I believe that things are going to resolve themselves, I hope, soon. What we've got to remind ourselves of as Republicans is that we have, and historically have, over the last 10 or 15 years, have had, I think, the strongest Republican Party in America. And although right now we're having an intra-party squabble, I believe that we are going to get past that and remember our need for a united focus on winning elections so that we can follow the kinds of principles that we know we need to follow in the government of Idaho and of the nation.
Senator, anything else that you'd like to share that we didn't get a hold of you about today that you feel is important to people here?
Well, the only other thing that I will raise is actually a couple of things. It's the issue of privacy. You and I have talked before about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and its efforts to collect information on Americans' bank accounts and their credit card transactions. That is moving ahead at pace, at a very fast pace, and I think Americans should continue to be aware of it, and I continue to push back on it. And just remind people that another remarkable development about the Internal Revenue Service losing all of the emails about their illegal effort to try to use the IRS to pressure conservative organizations is news that I think people should not forget. We've got this. This is an outrage that they are claiming they've lost all these emails, and I don't think there's very many Americans who believe it.
Senator, we always appreciate it. Back to that, you know, we can never emphasize this enough, the printing of the money and the markets. Any signs when the chickens are going to come home to roost on that one?
Well, I have believed that the chickens were going to come home to roost, so to speak, sooner than now. In fact, in other words, I thought it would have happened by now, and it hasn't, which just is an indication that America's economy is more resilient than maybe some of us even thought it was, and we've given it credit for being a very powerful economy. But it just can't continue forever. I wish I could give you the timeline, but I've been asking economic leaders in our country and around the world that question for 4 or 5 years now, and I don't believe any of them think that this is going to be able to be staved off forever, and they're talking in periods of a few years. But who knows? I even hate to say that the words a few years, because it may be sooner, it may be longer, but the time is ticking, and we don't have much time to correct our fiscal path here in the United States.
Senator, we appreciate it. Have fun playing some more soccer with Barbara Boxer there.
We'll try to do that.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Our great friend, Senator Mike Crapo. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
And, you know, I've got a couple questions for you. The other day I was in line at the Walmart at Garrity, kind of reliving old days, having a good time, minding my own business. And lo and behold, something happened to me. And the first thing I wanted to do is I said, I wonder if this has ever happened to Dave Burnett.
Probably not. Oh, I'm sorry, I answered too quickly.
Well, it always goes back to our conversation about men behaving appropriately here at 580 KIDO.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, when's the last time that you felt that somebody of the opposite, or maybe in your case the same sex, has hit on you?
Well, guys are bad about not noticing that. That's what I've been told. So I don't know. It's been a while. I don't know. It's been a while.
It's been a while since somebody's actually hit on you.
Yeah.
Do you remember when it was?
Not right off the top of my head. Might have been at a casino a while back.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Alcohol played a part.
When you were Blackjack Dave?
Yeah. That was it. Professional gambler.
You were like Kenny Rogers, the gambler?
Yeah. That was me.
No, I was at Walmart on Garrity, and, you know, I like self-deprecating humor. That's the only way I can really deal with myself. And I'm sitting there coming back from getting my wife's car's oil change. That's always fun. Hey, buddy, how are you? Well, just getting the oil change. Yeah, yeah. You know, sitting in there, and then I'm at the dealership, and they're doing the dealership show, and I'm sitting there watching TV. So on my way back, I pick up something very appealing, and you know, certainly well, Big Mike that works at the Garrity Walmart, he'll be happy that I was there. I bought some turkey and I think some chips and some pretzels, some good stuff. And you know, we're in this bad line. I'm in this bad line, and all of a sudden, you know when you pick a bad line?
Oh yeah. You think it's the shortest, and then you find out it's moving the slowest.
Well, because you have somebody getting in debates with the Walmart clerk, and the Walmart clerk doesn't care because they're there regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there going, well, okay. And so I just start looking around. This young lady looks at me, and I think she said something like, dude, bad call at the line of scrimmage. And then she starts talking to me. And then I wondered, you know, in the interest of fairness, was she talking to me because of my new look? Was she talking to me because she was just being friendly?
Well, what do you mean, new look?
I got a new look.
You do?
Well, people tell me that with this facial hair.
Oh,
and,
I gotcha.
And I'm 46 years old and still can't grow a beard, but it's fascinating to see people looking at me differently than when I have the choir boy look, which is the clean-shaven look. And since I've retired the goatee, much to the chagrin of Mrs. Miller, it's been interesting to just kind of see what every year I try and grow this thing out and see if it's, you know, I get like the 7 shavers to go, okay, go real closer. come on, follicles. You lose them in your hair, you get them in your ears, and they won't grow on your face. Now, you talk about being frustrated.
Well, sure.
That's why I've got issues.
When your ear and nose hair grows better than your facial hair, that's bad.
I did not say nose hair.
Oh, well, I noticed that. That was on my own notice. Sorry.
Now, this is stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else, folks.
Thank goodness. That's good.
Forget Lois Lerner and the emails. Forget all this other stuff.
Yeah, they're lost anyway forever.
Yeah, forget, yes, maybe we get Snowden to find it. But back to this. So I'm going back and forth with this young lady, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is how John Edwards first got into trouble. Maybe this is how all men get into trouble, because they're transformed back to what they thought they were before they were married and such. And it was just fascinating. Just going, you know, usually when you talk to somebody, they give you the old creepy guy look.
Mm-hmm.
And this person wasn't. She went back and forth and talked to me, and you know, she didn't. She wasn't married or anything. And I, you know, blah blah.
How do you know that?
She didn't have a ring on.
That doesn't mean anything.
I always flash the ring to protect myself. Not that I usually have to, but I thought to myself,
well, you have a kryptonite ring.
You know, it says, look, girls, hands off.
Oh, okay.
No free samples here. I'm off the market.
All right.
And then I saw another girl who was, you know, kind of a big girl. She was eyeballing me, too. And it wasn't really what I was wearing, because it could have been, you know, misconstrued for pajamas. And I just, I had to ask you.
You were at Walmart. You can do that.
You, the keeper of the flame here, that, you know, was this woman being nice to me, or was there something brewing there or not?
Maybe there was something wrong, and they were all, you know, kind of smiling, being nice because it was kind of funny.
That could be, too. And if you're a guy, it is just tough these days. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, you know, Kevin, I'm going to get married. I go, don't do it. Don't do it. Run. It's very rare that you find that those special individuals. Because everybody's got issues these days.
That they do.
You know? But I just thought it was fascinating. I was just doing a study there, and I thought to myself, how do you determine and what is and what is an appropriate conversation?
Well, obviously, it was enough to make you uncomfortable, make you think about it.
It's not that I overthink everything.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Well, if this person walks this way and their left foot crosses their right, what does that mean?
Yeah, you overthink it all.
I know. I probably should have been a shrink or a lawyer.
I'm a little surprised.
Garbage man.
By the way, taking a left turn here from your Walmart love affairs, I'm a little surprised you're not wearing like a Redskin sweatshirt today.
You didn't even ask. Well, but back to me, though.
Back to you.
Yeah. So what do you do? I was polite and I was nice. And I, you know, at the end, I said, well, we'll be seeing you. You have to go now. You're not Mrs. Miller, honey. You had your chance.
Well, I think as long as you got in your car safely and they didn't get in the back seat or anything, I think you're fine.
No, and then I said another one. I don't know if she was eyeing the pound of turkey I had smoked, or if she was looking at me.
You didn't tell me you had smoked turkey. That could have been it.
That's an aphrodisiac for a lot of people.
Well, no, that's just good eating.
It is. Anyway, you know, and you always say, Kevin, people want to hear more about you. Now, folks, do you really want to hear more about me? Now, Dave, do you want to hear more about that? That's my life. That's what I do. I go to the Walmart. And I'm a modern-day Fabian or whatever that guy is, the Wanderer.
I'm just surprised you went out to Garrity.
I roam from aisle to aisle.
You roam from town to town, too, evidently.
Well, yes, from Star to...
Because there's another Walmart on your way home. Why would you wander all the way out there?
But that's my favorite Walmart. Always has been.
Good thing it's not the Walmart in Ontario. That'd be a long trip every day for you.
It would be. But, you know, that and it was either that or go back to the 10-mile Albertsons, and that breakup is still tough for me. It's still tough for me.
Is it?
It is. You know, it's just not the same. It's kind of, you know, you have your good times, and whether you work with someone for many years or you're in a relationship with someone for many years at 580KIDO, it's never the same after you break up, is it?
I don't know. I've married to the same woman I've dated since high school.
I'm talking about relationships.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying. Not just, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, but relationships. You know, people always say, well, I'd really like to get to know you. And then all of a sudden, somebody gets a job somewhere else, somebody moves on, and it's never the same. We've had people that have left here that I've been close to in a heterosexually appropriate way. And they say to me, well, you know, we'll keep in touch. I go, well, no,
you never do. Yeah, it never happens.
You've got your own life. You've got your new friends. You've got everything else. Now, there are a few people that I still keep in touch with because you have that common denominator like college football and such. And they're really, really good people. But, you know, the people that you work with, eh. So on to the politically incorrect Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Can you believe, well.
What is the government doing involved in that whole story anyway? Could you explain that to me?
Hail to the Redskins.
That could get you on the wire and the charts. Somebody's going to notice you saying that.
No, you are, it's, and this is what scares me, the lack of critical thinking skills where people are going to say, that's what happens when you have something offensive. Never mind that according to the Associated Press, 80% of the country believes the Redskin name is not offensive.
Well, it hasn't been for potatoes.
Potatoes?
Yeah, there's Redskin potatoes.
Ah.
It's not offensive to them.
You're a quick one.
Well, I'm just saying.
You had me on my backpedaling on that one.
Maybe they should change the logo to a Redskin potato.
They could do that.
Just put that on the side of the helmet.
I'm still trying to think of my potato palooza, but I'm digressing from the topic here. Back to the Redskins. So Daniel Snyder grew up as a Redskin fan. He has a lot of money. The appeals will take a long time. But really, as you said, who is the federal government to jump in there?
They are our daddy, I guess. I mean, the bottom line is if people are offended by the Redskin logo, they won't buy the merchandise.
And frankly, it's one of the most popular merchandise sales figures ever.
And to be honest, for Native Americans, it's not like it's some goofy bucktooth logo. It's a nice, decent, respectable logo.
Now, what are you referring to there?
What's that? The Cleveland Indian bucktooth logo they used to have.
They still have Chief Wahoo.
Is Wahoo still there?
Oh, yeah.
How have they not run that?
Because people in Cleveland...
don't know?
Are not politically correct like people in Washington. And when the Jacobs family sold the team, that was the deal. You had to keep the logo and everything else. And you take a look at Atlanta. They got rid of Chief Homa Runa. They, you know, all these colleges that changed because, heck, high schools, even in the West, have been doing that.
Oh, yeah. I think we've had here a couple here in Idaho that have changed.
Here's my issue, and I've got a lot of issues at 580KIDO. Back to the whether it was the smoked turkey or my facial hair to go along with my bell pepper physique and the receding hairline, I don't know. However, with the woman at the Walmart, however, the government should mind its own business, and no matter who the next president is, because we've gone so much with executive power, we'll never get our freedoms back. We'll never get our freedoms back, and you're going to have people just ruling by majority rule, where the government says, well, we used to be the government. We used to tell the government what to do.
Well, it was we the people.
Yep, it was. I got another thing for you here at 580KIDO.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that congressional testimony yesterday with the folks in Bo Bergdahl's old unit, and he had his roommate saying that he shouldn't have been brought back. He made his choices and all this, and I'm going... okay, nothing personal here at 580KIDO, but what does that have to do with Bo Bergdahl? They should be questioning the administration, not the people in the guy's unit. Okay, they've made their statements. They voiced their opinions. I get that. What was the purpose of having them in there except to humiliate Sergeant Bergdahl? And maybe now we figured out why his family decided not to talk to the press the whole time, not including since he's been released.
Well, see, I think they were wise in that decision.
In hindsight, yes.
Yeah. Looking back, I think they were very wise in that. I don't know. It should be. And again, why, you know, are you upset that he's home, or are you upset that they traded five Taliban leaders for one guy? And if you are upset about that, be upset with the deal makers. Don't be upset with the guy who was sitting in a box sent home.
Yep.
Wouldn't you be upset? I mean, why would you be upset with the guy? It's not like he negotiated it. He was just rushed onto a helicopter and flown out going, what's going on?
I'm just happy to be going home.
Yeah, as I think any one of us would be. But I digress.
And finally, apparently, what is it, Hyundais or Kias or one of those cars? You see that story on Channel 7 last night?
You need to be careful which one it is. Two very different cars.
Well, they're owned by the same company.
Oh, what about them?
Like they have exploding sunroofs.
Oh, I did see that where the sunroofs suddenly explode, yeah.
Now, don't we live in a beautiful place on God's green earth where the lead story on two of the three newscasts, and really the top three, okay, you go from exploding sunroofs to,
hey, it's the river floating season, but no one was floating in the river.
Too cold.
To the weather, it's going to be 90 degrees. I challenge any community in the country, any community, to have such great, wonderful headlines.
That or, as I get ready for traffic, we're missing some big stories somewhere, not covering them. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of